The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable, saying, "The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, 'What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops.' And he said, 'I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul is required of you. And the things that you have prepared, whose will they be?' So is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus had been out and about teaching and preaching and visiting with people and performing a few miracles, but he had also just had a run-in with the scribes and the Pharisees, and that's where it takes us to this lesson today. And so Jesus is talking with his disciples. He's also, many other people are around that are listening in to hear what Jesus has to say, and someone from the crowd pops up and says, "Hey, Jesus, make my brother divide the inheritance with me." Jesus' answer for that question was, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?" In Jesus' reply, we can hear a little bit of irritation or a little bit of frustration coming from Jesus. It's a fairly sharp answer to this request by the man. And there's several reasons I can see that possibly Jesus is frustrated with this type of request that's coming from someone in the crowd. This question or request is just simply messed up for several reasons. One reason is like I just mentioned, Jesus had just come through another confrontation with the scribes and the Pharisees, with religious leaders, and they were still there. They were watching and trying to catch Jesus in everything that he said so that they could catch him and turn it around on him and discredit him in front of the people. So the scribes and the Pharisees were there. Think about this for a minute. If you have an issue, and this is basically a legal issue that this man is saying, "Have the inheritance divided for us," more than likely, this man has already gone to the authorities. He's gone to the lawyers. The scribes and the Pharisees are the lawyers. They're the ones who know the scripture frontwards and backwards. They have studied the law of the Old Testament. And so they know what it says, and they also know all the other codes, the statutes, everything else that goes along with that scripture. I bet this man had already gone to them, and he did not get a favorable opinion from them. But now, seeing Jesus, this man thinks, "Aha, here's another religious leader." Think about it this way. You go, when you're a kid, you go and you ask your mom, "Hey, mom, can I go stay over with my friend tonight?" And your mom says, "No, we have other things that we need to get done here at the house." So what do? You go ask Dad. I think that's what's going on here. He had already approached the scribes, the Pharisees, the lawyers. He did not get a favorable opinion. So here he's asking Jesus, "Jesus, divide this divide this inheritance. And so Jesus is irritated with that. And he says, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you? But also, too, Jesus is irritated, I think, or frustrated with this type of question is because everything that Jesus has been talking about. He's trying to get that message across that the things of this earth really don't matter. It's the kingdom of God. Jesus has been talking about the kingdom of God, showing the signs and the wonders that God can do for people. He's been talking about relationships, and here this man is saying, hey, I've got a material issue that I want you to take care of. Think about it again this way. This statement from this man is also messed up, because listen to the actual language that he says. Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. It's not a question. It's not a form of request in a question form. Will you help me? You know, sometimes we get stuck. We may have squabbles. We may have differences of opinions, or maybe even it seems like somebody has slighted us, and we want justice. We want it to be fair. We want things to be even, and we just can't work it out with that other person. So we do go to somebody else to help us straighten things out. But that's not what this man is asking for. He says, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Whether or not he has a right to that inheritance, it doesn't matter. Tell my brother to do this. He's not looking for an arbitrator. He's not looking for a judge. He's looking to get that property. And that's what's messed up about this statement coming from this man. That's why it is irritating or frustrating to Jesus. And that's why Jesus' answer is so sharp. Jesus is frustrated. He's been trying to tell the crowds. That's been his message all along, is to get right with God. Get right with your neighbor. Do the things that God wants us to do. And see the wonders that God can perform. This man has no relationship with his brother, and that's where the frustration comes from, is that this man wants possessions more than he wants a relationship with his brother. And so Jesus tells the parable, and the parable actually tells the same thing then too. In the parable, there's a rich man. He has lots of possessions. He has a problem that he doesn't have enough place to store, so he has an idea. He thinks about it. And he tells himself, I'll just tear down my old barns, build new ones, and I have plenty of room. And then all I have to do is sit back, relax, drink, be merry, enjoy life. I don't have to work again. That's the parable that Jesus says. But look at the parable a little bit closer then, too, of this rich man. Look at the parable. In this parable, there's only two characters. There's two characters in this parable. There's the rich man, and there's God. Who does the rich man talk to? He talks to himself. Now, I know sometimes I'll mutter to myself then too, why'd you do such a stupid thing? Or, I got an idea. You know, I'll mutter to myself, but most of the time I'm talking to somebody else. In this parable, the man talks to nobody else, which implies that he has nobody else. His whole thrust in life has been to build his own wealth for himself. He has no relationships. He's not willing to share any of it. He has plenty even before he has to build more barns. But he has no one to give it to, or he sees no one to give it to, or he thinks nobody deserves all this wealth that I have. He has no friends. There's no family mentioned within this parable either. It's all self-centered on himself. His possessions are his. They belong to him, and he's going to keep them. One of the things, I guess, that of Jesus and how this ties to this whole question of make my brother give me the inheritance is that this man wants this for himself. He sees nobody else. There is no other relationship. You know, even he talks to himself, and there is another character here in the story, and that is God. He doesn't even talk to God. He relies only on himself. And at the end of the parable, Jesus says, so it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and not rich toward God. Jesus calls this man a fool. He calls him a fool because he's missed the point completely of why he exists on this earth in the first place. God created us to be in relationship. He created us to be in relationship with him and also in relationship with each other. The other reason I think Jesus calls this man a fool is because all that stuff really doesn't belong to him. It does not belong to him. Everything that we have is borrowed, including our very own lives. God is the creator of life. God is the one who has given us life. And life, our life, returns back to God. Everything on this earth belongs to God. Everything on earth is what God had created. It is God, but he has given it to us to use or to borrow. He has provided what we need to live this life and to live it fully. He's given us plenty of food, places to eat, things to eat, people to know, family to love, friends to love, other people to work with or to enjoy life with. He's given it all to us, but it's borrowed. Everything belongs to God. This man, this rich man, refused to believe that. He wanted to believe it was all his, that he earned it or that he deserves it. It's his, and he's going to keep it. Nobody else has a right to it. That's the same thing that the man who approached Jesus had. Nobody else has a right to that inheritance but me. Maybe my brother gets some, but I want my share. And that's frustrating to Jesus because Jesus is about dealing with people. He is about loving people. When he died on the cross, he died for everyone. He died for everyone. Not only those who believed in him, but also he died for all those who did not believe in him. Remember on the cross, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus came for all of us. We belong to God. Whether or not we want to believe that, whether or not we want to accept it, we still belong to God. And the whole point then of this parable, or one of the points of the parable is, this man does, his soul is required of him that night. His life is going to be returning to God. And all this stuff, all these things, all this wealth, all this money, all this power will no longer be his. All this stuff he's worked for. It goes back to that first reading that we read this morning out of Ecclesiastes. Vanity of vanities, all this toil and waste, whose will it be? We need to work towards the things of God, to become rich in God, to become rich in our faith, to be willing to help where we need to help, to be able to be in that close communication with God, but also be in communication with one another. If myself is the only person that I can trust, then something's going wrong. We trust in God. We can also trust in one another. But that means opening ourselves up. It means forgiving people. It means bearing the grudges. It means being in good relationships with each other. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.